It takes a team to take people to the moon. It's certainly going to take a team to take people to Mars. We're joining NASA's campaign, Artemis campaign, to return to the moon and to go to Mars. The Australian government will commit $150 million over 5 years to support the mission and related activities, and I expect that's just where we're going to begin. This investment through the Australian Space Agency will give Australian businesses and researchers the opportunity to bring our capabilities to NASA's Moon to Mars mission. And it will give Australian businesses the chance to compete for a place in growing international space supply chains.
Welcome. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I am Andrew Rennie, flying solo this evening. Well, that was Scott Morrison in Washington at NASA headquarters. Yes, exciting place. I've been there once. With all the details about that, we're going to be spending most of the show on that topic tonight. And kicking it off will be the guys at the Space Show News Desk. And let's hear from them now. Starting off with Peter Arwood and the details about that news announcement.
All right, lift off and the clock has started.
Yes, sir, reading you loud and clear.
Roger all, Discovery.
Discovery, Roger, go in front.
Good evening and welcome to the October 9, 2019 edition of Space News. This is Peter Arwood and I have Tina Stagg and Michael Abdullah here with me tonight, and we're all from the Space Association of Australia. But let's get straight into some space news like we love to do. The Australian Prime Minister's recent trip to the United States has heralded a major deal for the Australian Space Agency and the nation's space industry more broadly. Prime Minister Scott Morrison and Minister for Industry, Science and Technology Karen Andrews jointly announced an investment in Australian space businesses and new technologies that will support NASA on its campaign to return to the moon and travel to Mars. The Morrison government is positioning Australia with a $150 million investment in Australian businesses and technologies. The five-year investment will see the Australian Space Agency foster new ideas and high-tech skilled jobs that will make Australian businesses a partner of choice to fit out NASA missions. The government's support means Australian businesses and researchers will have the opportunity to showcase their knowledge and capabilities in projects that can support NASA's Moon to Mars mission, such as Project Artemis and the Lunar Gateway. It will also support Australian businesses to become more competitive in international space supply chains and to increase Australia's share in a growing $350 billion global space market. The Australian Space Agency will work closely with NASA to identify how they can best support their missions after the signing of a joint statement of intent on expanding cooperation between the two agencies. And the federal government is surging towards unlocking the Australian space economy. Deep space exploration, Earth observation and debris tracking have been identified as key growth opportunities for Australia's space sector in a CSIRO report launched at the 18th Australian Space Research Conference in Adelaide. Following extensive consultations with industry, the Space A Roadmap for Unlocking Future Growth Opportunities for Australia report outlines how some of Australia's strengths and geographic advantages are key to enhancing this nation's share of the international space sector and growing the size of Australia's domestic space industry to $12 billion by 2030. The space roadmap presents three key areas for potential development, including supporting space exploration and deep space gateway habitats to safely conduct robotic and human missions, building capabilities in observing Earth from space, satellite communications and positioning, navigation and timing data, and taking advantage of Australia's geographic position in the Southern Hemisphere, the nation can further its work with international programs that track objects in space, manage space debris, and enable deep space communication. Additionally, the new roadmap identifies an ambitious plan to support international partners by developing and providing technological expertise to help establish a human base on the moon. Meeting the challenge would involve building capabilities in autonomous robotic systems, in situ resource utilization, habitat and life support, power and propulsion.
Now back to that story about the letter of intent that was signed between NASA and the Australian Space Agency. Prime Minister Scott Morrison was at pains to point out that this would not be a $150 million check written out to NASA. The money would be spent in Australia. Well, the letter was signed for Australia by Dr. Megan Clark, the head of the Australian Space Agency. Prime Minister Scott Morrison looked on, as did Wilbur Ross, the Secretary of the United States Department of Commerce. Ross had this to say about the Australian Space Agency.
Congratulations to the Australian Space Agency for moving so quickly on this initiative after just a year since you've been created. Sometimes I wish our government could move as quickly as you folks have on this. This morning's joint statement of intent will allow an industry-to-industry collaboration to sustain the long-term effort to move permanently beyond low Earth orbit. It establishes a basis for us to work together on space technologies and build the infrastructure required for space travel and exploration. Only a few years ago, the space industry was innovative, but that has quickly changed thanks to technology, to innovation, and most importantly, to the vitality of a new generation of entrepreneurs. Today, space is a global high-tech growth industry, driven mostly by the private sector. This time, when we go to the moon, we will do it in partnership with the commercial industry and with our allies, especially Australia. We have a unique opportunity to provide all humanity with the aspirations and hope that come with a successful space endeavor.
Unfortunately, someone at NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C., stuffed up. Rather than plugging into the lectern microphone, the technician used an auditorium microphone. This means that the audience reaction and a squalling baby are louder than Scott Morrison in the following recording. So please bear with us for the next 6 minutes as we bring you these historic comments. And if you do listen closely, you'll learn what Scott Morrison's favourite movie is.
Because in the same way I'm sure you're inspired 50 years ago, there are young Australians who are going to be very inspired by what we're doing today and what you achieve for Australia as part of this program. It's fantastic to be here at NASA's headquarters. Much is said about Apollo 11, but I've got to tell you, my favourite is Apollo 13. And I've said that before in my own country. Not only one of my favourite movies, but it's more about what it's about. Because it showed the adaptability, the innovation, the ability to think on their feet. And when I think back to that amazing film, which captured, I hope, what was occurring on that day, the ingenuity was just extreme. Because when things go well, things go well. But when things don't go well, that's when you find the real imagination. And you find the real innovation of the team that you've brought together. And it takes a team to take people to the moon. It's certainly going to take a team to take people to Mars. And so it's wonderful to be here today, to be part of this team. NASA headquarters is the launch pad for some of the biggest and most daring adventures in history. Missions into the far reaches of the galaxy have to start somewhere, and this is where they start. As we look around the room, we get a glimpse of some of the activity NASA undertakes as we enter this headquarters building. Thomas Jefferson said, "It's wonderful how much may be done if we are always doing." For over 60 years, NASA has been extending the cause of human possibility. We see the power of human possibility, one of imagination, creativity, collaboration, determination, and built on exacting rigour and leaving nothing to chance. Recently, Australia was proud to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11 and the moon landing, and our country's role in supporting that historic mission. And it also seems that getting a Logie back then was a lot harder than it is today. The Australians particularly. Our training facilities played a small but vital role, as everything with space. To quote author and historian, a friend of mine, Ann Ting, he said in his history of that period, "Without the connection provided by these stations, the ranks of flight controllers of Houston would have been totally deaf, dumb and blind to the Apollo astronauts in space, just as those astronauts would likewise have been rendered completely invisible to their earthbound controls." So at last night's dinner, NASA's efforts over decades have been an odyssey of joy and precision that is a testament to America's unstoppable spirit of endeavour. Of course, that spirit of endeavour has driven a communications revolution across the world. You have created, advanced and spurred an industry now worth $345 billion a year. Today, it gives me great pleasure to announce that Australia is once again supporting the United States in another historic endeavour. We are joining NASA's campaign, Artemis campaign, to return to the moon and to go to Mars. The Australian government will commit $150 million over 5 years to support the mission and related activities, and I expect that's just where we're going to begin. This investment through the Australian Space Agency will give Australian businesses and researchers the opportunity to bring our capabilities to NASA's Moon to Mars mission, and it will give Australian businesses the chance to compete for a place in growing international space supply chains. The Australian Space Agency will work with NASA to identify how it can support a significant part of its mission. This can be developing automation systems that could support exploration of the moon, or be used as the gateway, that's the spacecraft that will orbit the moon as a home base for astronauts, creating Australian components on space and lunar vehicles, or using Australia's experience in mineral exploration on Earth to support scientific investigation on the moon and Mars. We're pretty good at mining, Australia. Our space agency will also support Australian companies and research organisations to do work that can support the US mission. And these activities will help us reach our goal of creating 20,000 additional jobs in the Australian space industry by 2030 and tripling the size of the Australian space sector from $3.9 billion to $12 billion. As I said with the President yesterday, we're about jobs. And space is about jobs as much as anything else. The benefit will flow onto other areas of the economy by applying space technologies in agriculture, emergency management, and our mineral sector, just to name a few. So yet again, Australia standing together, looking up into the sky together, the US. We've partnered on space exploration for more than 6 years. With today's announcement, space cooperation is set to continue into the future. The Moon to Mars mission, the United States is again leading the way, leading our sights, exploring the frontiers of the skies, and expanding humans' presence deeper into the solar system. But most of all, I think, capturing our human imagination. The daring and brilliance is a great inspiration to all of us. I commend President Trump on his leadership in this respect. This daring and brilliance is something we can aspire with him to. And we can't wait to be part of the next chapter. So beam us up.
The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, speaking on September the 21st at NASA headquarters in Washington, D.C. And as I said, someone in NASA, a technician presumably, stuffed up, and may that baby live in infamy. Now, Scott Morrison, afterwards, in Autumn Sunshine, Scott had this explanation of his announcement.
20,000 jobs in a $12 billion industry by 2030. That's why we're in it. It has a great alignment, I think, with our other cooperation with the United States in other areas. So, and that's, you know, some of the discussions I've had around here this afternoon. I think it's seen very much as Australia understanding about where this is heading and positioning ourselves well to be part of what is going to be a very important and valuable supply chain.
Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Well, you're listening to The Space Show, and our topic this evening is the announcement by Scott Morrison and Minister Andrews about the support for the Artemis program and Australian space development. Now, back here in Australia, the announcement elicited a lot of discussion. For example, on Sky News Australia, Robert Borsak, a senator for the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party, had this comment.
$150 million in the federal budget is neither here nor there, but it's an important recognition of what we could be doing in this new industry. We do need to establish it, and if we can get into a partnership with the United States with the, I hate to say it, rocket booster of investment that brings with it, then who knows where we're going to end. But that doesn't mean that farmers got to lose one red cent. Yeah. In fact, they could get more out of this whole process.
In South Australia, South Australian Senator Corey Bernardi used the occasion to have a tilt at climate scientists.
Richo, I can tell you now, the farmers wouldn't care if we spent $1 billion on a space flight if we could send all the Extinction Rebellion people to colonise Mars, right? They'd be buying into that straight away.
Meanwhile, Scott Morrison jetted off to Chicago and addressed the Chicago Council for Global Affairs.
On this visit, we have agreed to increase our cooperation in space research. Now, this isn't about Australian writing checks to NASA or anything like that. This is about Australia as a Commonwealth investing in our own businesses in Australia, our own capability in Australia, to create jobs in Australia, in our space industry, so our space industry can participate in the noble and visionary project of the return to the moon. Not about writing checks to NASA. NASA's got plenty of checks. But the Australian industry needs to develop. And this is about, frankly, it's about 20,000 jobs in Australia and turning an industry in Australia into a $12 billion industry by 2030. And so that industry in Australia can partner and participate with commercial partners here in the United States.
In Canberra, Karen Andrews, the Minister for Industry, Science and Technology, had this promotional message already prepared, ready to roll.
It's been 50 years since man first landed on the moon, and Australia played a big part, beaming that vision right across the world. But now, the Australian government is taking it even further.
Australia is teaming up with NASA for missions like Moon to Mars, which aims to put humans back on the moon, with the ultimate goal of sending humans to Mars. This $150 million Australian government investment isn't about buying a ticket on the journey. This is about opportunity for Australia's space sector to boom, to create new Aussie jobs. Just 12 months after launching the Australian Space Agency, we're on track to triple the size of the sector and create 20,000 new jobs. It's also about inspiring our kids to think big, to remind them that there are no limits to what they can achieve.
So get ready for liftoff, Australia.
And while we're speaking about Karen Andrews, we are reminded of an amusing thing she said a few weeks ago in Parliament. She was speaking about the rise in interest from young people in STEM subjects. That's STEM, S-T-E-M, and it stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. She puts this rise down to the television drama, The Bachelor.
We understand how important it is to make sure that everyone is inspired about science, and particularly our young people are inspired about science. Now, Mr. Speaker, let me say this, that as a declared fan, I really want to point out that there's been a heightened interest in STEM as a result of Australia's current bachelor being an astrophysicist. Now, reports this week suggested that there had been a significant increase in inquiries about the study of science, and that Google searches for astrophysicists had gone through the roof. Now, Mr. Speaker, I'm all for popular culture that gets people talking about science. And I do note, Mr. Speaker, that one of the finalists vying for the Bachelor's Heart in the finale tonight is in fact a chemical engineer. Yeah. So I say go Chelsea. Now, for the sake of Australian industry, Mr. Speaker, and for jobs across our nation, and particularly for our jobs in rural and regional Australia, I encourage all young Australians to consider their STEM options. And as the Bachelor said last night, science is sexy.
Now, whatever the reality of the Bachelor effect is, others are also promoting STEM subjects. One of them is Russell Boyce, the chairman of the National Committee for Space and Radio Science at the Australian Academy of Science in Canberra.
Okay, so I'm Russell Boyce, and I currently chair the National Committee for Space and Radio Science, which is one of the 22, I think, committees of the Australian Academy of Science for the purpose of fostering science research in Australia and providing advice both to the Academy and on through to government. There are outreach and STEM opportunities, and the three I'd like to point out. One of them is an online magazine called Nova, and all and any of you are welcome to contact Nova and put publications to write articles. There's an example there on the Rosetta mission that appears on the Nova website. Each article is vetted or reviewed by at least two, if not three, experts in the field. There's also an international competition called Falling Walls. In a month from now, the international competition will be held in Berlin on the anniversary of the falling wall, the Berlin Wall. Leading up to that, there are competitions in many countries, and Australia had one of those recently. It's essentially a three-minute thesis-type competition where young scientists and engineers from Australia and New Zealand can present their ideas. The winner gets to make the trip to Berlin and present their ideas in front of a large panel of both scientists, engineers, and also potential investors. So this is something that the Academy supports. And finally, at the Shine Dome in Canberra, the Academy of Science, there is an organisation called Science by Doing. And that's developing new material, new apps, new graphics, animations, whatever, to mirror and enhance the national curriculum for high school. And there's opportunity for us to get involved in contributing to that, to use the fact that space is so attractive to young people to encourage them to study STEM.
From Sandringham to South Yarra, you're listening to Southern FM.